Right, Keith Tredgett has offered to do the reading for us this morning. It's from Genesis 24:59-67 and Genesis 25 from verse 21.
Genesis 24:59-67. So they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become thousands of tens of thousands, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him." Then Rebekah and her young women arose and rode on the camels and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had returned from Beer Lahai Roy and was dwelling in the Negeb. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel, and said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that she had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah his mother, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And Genesis 25:21. And Isaac praised the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah his wife conceived.
I am so excited and encouraged this morning. The two things that I felt I needed to bring to you, we have heard already. So I just want to encourage you that you are so important in terms of what God is saying to us as a church here, because he just doesn't speak just to the elders, to the leaders. He speaks to us all. And when we hear God speak, we need to bring what he's saying. So thank you. Thank you both to Ruth and to Joy as well. As we go on, you might see what I mean and get excited too. Do you know what? I've been at this church now for just over 22 years. I've been here just over 22 years. Not quite as old, as long as the church has been here. We didn't come until the church was about 6 months old, but we've been here a long time. And in all of that time, I think we've been living with contradictions. Because right from the very beginning, we were having words about being fruitful, about expanding and God's blessing. Now, we have seen God's blessing. I don't want you to think that I think that we haven't seen God's blessing. We have seen God's blessing. We've seen God's blessing in many ways. But very early on in the life of the church, when we were, this building was still a pub, we were walking around it. We were prayer walking. And at that time, we were encouraged to think, to identify with the tribes on the Eastern Gate. So thank you for mentioning gates this morning. That's one of the reasons why Keith read from the ESV, because it used the word gate rather than city. And that's important to us. And I think it now is an important time to take up again what God was saying to us about recognising how important we are as being on the gate, the entrance to the city. Well, anyway, as we were looking at the tribes that were based on the Eastern Gate, one of the tribes was Joseph. And in him, one of the blessings that Jacob gave to him when he blessed all his sons, he called him a fruitful vine. And do you know what? There was a vine on the outside of the wall here. Do you remember that? Keith, do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah. Well, there was. I assure you, there was a vine outside here. It just seemed to be an affirmation that that's what God was calling us to. But in all these 22 years, the church hasn't really grown in size. We've kind of... I mean, if you look around this morning, there's less than 20 of us here this morning. And I know fruitfulness isn't all about numbers. You know, we've been really blessed. We've seen God's blessings in many ways. But I do feel fruitfulness is about God's kingdom, about God's kingdom growing and the fruitfulness of God's kingdom. Now, in some way, again, that is about people's lives and the quality of people's lives and our relationship with God. But it is about numbers. It's about bringing people into the kingdom. It's about people who don't yet know Jesus coming to know him and being added to his kingdom. And that's something we haven't really seen. And I've just forgotten my PowerPoint. Could you put the PowerPoint on there, please? That's something we haven't really seen, in certainly in big numbers. And I think, you know, if we look back over what God has said to us, and maybe we need to be getting out the books again so that we can read the words that have been given. You know, God has promised that there will be fruitfulness. God has promised growth. God has promised blessing. And I'm really looking for that blessing and that fruitfulness being in people coming to know Jesus, people coming to be part of his kingdom. 22 years, bit of a long time. Contradictions, people living in contradictions is quite common in the Bible. Abraham and Sarah, who we talked about last week, they received a promise of a miracle son, but she was barren. Joseph dreamed of promotion and prosperity, but he received prison and hatred. Moses received a word he'd be a deliverer, but he was rejected, sent into the wilderness. David, anointed to be king, but driven into hiding by the jealousy of Saul. Stephen, stoned and died, but Paul was stoned and he lived. Philip was supernaturally transported. Paul was shipwrecked, snake bitten. Peter walked on water. Paul floated in the water for 3 days. James was beheaded. Peter was released. And back to our reading this morning, Rebecca, Isaac's wife, received a promise of unparalleled growth. They blessed Rebecca and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Isaac was 40 when they got married. Genesis 25 verse 26 says Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to the twins. 20 years living with a promise and a blessing of fruitfulness and nothing to show for it. I just want to take a couple of minutes to look at the promise and blessing for Rebekah that she received from her family. The promise of divine blessing and growth. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s. If we believe what the Bible says, then we must believe that we are blessed. God blesses us. He blesses us as his people. We read many times of the promise of success. In Joshua 1, God says to Joshua, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may become successful wherever you go." Psalm 1 verse 3, "The person whose delight is in the law of the Lord is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5, "Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of the Lord. And as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success." According to the Bible, it seems that the blessing of God is received by those who trust God and follow his ways. If we read Mark 4 verse 26, it says, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts sickle to it, because the harvest has come." The farmer sows the seed, but he doesn't make it grow. And what most of us probably struggle with, certainly what I struggle with, is God's timing and how he goes about doing things. Most of you know me reasonably well, you know that I like to know what's going on. I like to actually be there in all the organisation and make sure everything's done and at least have oversight of everything's done in order and that nothing gets missed. And I don't like chaos. I need to assure you, God is working on that, by the way. But when it comes to God's blessings and promises, I think most of us get a little frustrated if we can't see or understand what he's about. But actually, he loves us so much that, you know, if he were to tell us exactly what was going on, well, it would be worse than me sat in the church council meeting listening to Keith and Howard talk about all the pension and everything. I don't have a clue. At least it would confuse us, and at most it would frighten us and it would scare us. Last Sunday afternoon, Keith and I watched the video of The Shack. Have you read the book? Do you?
Yeah.
And it was, I stopped from beginning to end. But it was a really good picture of what God is like. If you don't know the story, I won't tell you the story, apart from the fact that this man meets God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the way that God is portrayed, I think, is absolutely amazing. But it's interesting that the toing and froing between the man who's gone through something absolutely terrible and God never explains to him why. And actually, you know, as the film goes on, God is kind of just opening his eyes a little bit more to what's going on. But he never ever gets the answer to why did this happen. And at one point, you know, God's in tears. God cries over us. It's not just that we're in tears about what's happening. God hurts for us. He hurts with us. You know, we will always be living with some sort of contradictions because, well, basically, we are not God. We may get to see how some things work out, but we may not. But that doesn't change the fact that God loves us and he is and will bless us. Therefore, we can give him thanks and we can give him gratitude for all his promises that will one day come to fruition. And it is great when we come together to actually spend time thanking God, thanking him for who he is, thanking him for what he's given us, thanking him for what he's doing in our lives and in the lives of people around us and in our world. And whenever we meet together for worship, that should be our priority. Let's thank God for who he is. The second part of the blessing that Rebecca was given was a promise of victory in warfare. And may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. To possess the gates of the enemy was to occupy the place of authority, power, and ultimate control. Biblically, gates represented the entrances of the ways leading to life and destruction. And the word gate then became a synonym for power because of the strength and importance of the gates of the city. Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." Proverbs 31, verse 23, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." The elders, the spiritual authority of God's people, sat at the gates. You can read about that. Deuteronomy 21, verse 19, Deuteronomy 22, verse 15, 25, verse 7, Ruth 4, verse 10 and 11. If you remember, Boaz went to the gates to do his business about getting Ruth's property back. But listen. In Matthew 16, verse 18, the promise for the church is that the gates of hell, again, gates, the power, the authority of hell, shall not prevail against the church. All the authority, power, and evil influence of hell will not and cannot resist God's church. That's you and me. Just listen to some of the different translations of this verse. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. The powers of death will never have the power to destroy it. That's the church. The gates of Hades shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. That's the Amplified version. And the gates of hell shall not hold out against her. Rebecca, the barren woman, was given this promise 20 years before its fulfillment. In her barren state, Rebecca's future is described as blessed beyond imagination. Another word we had from Ephesians this morning, Ephesians 3. She would break out of her barren condition to experience divine blessing and growth and victory over her enemies. And I think in this particular story we're looking at of the women that were barren, one of the keys to breaking Rebecca's bands of barrenness is Isaac's response. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer and his wife Rebecca became pregnant. You know, this is the second time a wife in the line of promise was barren. And to me, it seems there's so much left unsaid in this verse. In God's time, through the intercession of Isaac for his wife, the bands of brokenness are broken. What I see here is it's not a formula for success, but a relationship that needs to be understood. Isaac pleaded for his wife. He obviously loved his wife. He felt the great shame, the great burden, the pain that she felt. He pleaded for his wife. And as God calls us to make a response to his promise of fruitfulness, I feel it's important for us to identify the fruitfulness that God's called us to. And I said earlier, I believe it's about people coming into his kingdom. Now, if we're going to respond to his call and his promise of fruitfulness, if we're going to respond like Isaac, then what's the first thing we need? We need a love. We need a real identification with the fruit that God's promised us. And that fruit is the fruit of his kingdom. The fruit of people coming to know him. And I'm praying for a real passion that we might have a passion for those who don't know Jesus, a passion for those who are not yet part of his kingdom. So that's what I feel our response to his promises are, should be. Of course, we could choose to not respond like that. We could just say, well, heard it all before, been there, done that, nothing's changed, so what? And we could just get on with life as usual. And we won't be 19 here next year, we might be 2 or 3. We could allow our frustrations to get the better of us, become disillusioned and bitter. Or we could choose to trust God. Just as that passage in Matthew talking about the farmer and the seed, it's God's work. That's not that we don't do anything. We do. What do we do? Well, we intercede. How do we do that? Well, the first thing is to stop. And I was interested to hear Ruth as she was talking about the process of her writing. What did she say? She said, I felt I had to stop writing and just think through and look through. Stop being busy. Stop trying to make God fulfill his promises your way or our way. We're not going to succeed. Secondly, we need to seek his face. Focus on the God who can break through, who can give us insight, who can give us grace to handle his timing and everything. And then we can see his answers. Because he alone is able to fulfill his promise. The two main Hebrew words used for seeking the Lord mean, the first word, to tread, to frequent, to follow hard after as a pursuer for pursuit or search, to seek, to ask, to make diligent inquiry, to desire something deeply. And the second one means to seek to find, seek to secure, seek the face of, desire, require, request. Seek the Lord. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul." 1 Chronicles 16:10, "Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord." 1 Chronicles 22:19, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord." The church. We used to sing a song. I can remember being up in the huts, which don't exist anymore, singing this song. The church is not a building or a place where people meet. It doesn't have a steeple or pews or... Yeah. The church is built of people just like you and just like me. And all together, we are the family. Building God's church, it's people. Building God's church, seeking his face to build his church. How do we seek his face? Well, all sorts of ways, but there's one particular way I want to encourage you. On a Thursday evening, in fact, this Thursday evening, we are meeting to enjoy time in God's presence, to worship him, to listen to him, to be encouraged by him. And if you've not been to a prayer meeting for a long time, then why not decide to stop what you're doing this Thursday? Stop your busyness. Come and seek the Lord together with some of your brothers and sisters. You know, we will only have and only see breakthrough in the enlargement of God's kingdom. We'll only see our friends and our neighbours and even strangers come in to know and love the Lord Jesus as we stop and deliberately seek God's face. And I'm convinced as we do that, we will catch some of his passion, some of his desire that Jesus has for the lost. Our response to God's promise of fruitfulness, to start with, I believe it is to seek his face. Let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are not a God who is distant, who is far away. You are a God who is amongst your people. Father, thank you that as we seek you, you are seeking us. You want us to be in your family. And I just recall another scene from the shack last week. God kept saying, every time somebody was mentioned, "I've got a real special place in my heart for that person." And eventually the fellow said to God, "You say that about everybody, don't you?" And God said, "Yes, yes. I want you to know God has a real special place in his heart for you, but also for the people out there who do not yet know him. Let's come and seek him." Father, thank you that you just want us to know you more and more. You want us to be full of life, full of the life that you have for us. And Father God, we thank you. Thank you so much that you will not withhold anything from us that is good for us, that is what you want for us to have. Father, would you give us a little bit more desire to be in your presence, to be your people, to be full of your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Can I just say a moment? I think we have to remember that before those children were born, that those women became pregnant, and that before we're going to bring forth, we need to become pregnant. We need to, when a woman becomes pregnant, she needs to eat the right things, drink the right things, don't drink the wrong things, don't smoke, don't do this. We need to take care of our spiritual being so that we can become pregnant in the right way, and at the right time, in the fullness of time, God will bring forth the fruitfulness in numbers, like Susan's been talking about. Absolutely right. This, both things.
Yeah, for the recording, Joyce just said that we need to become fruit. We become pregnant before we can become fruitful. And a woman who's pregnant needs to look after their body. They need to eat right, sleep right. Don't drink the wrong thing. And I liken that to our spiritual walk. We need to be walking with God. We need to hear Him. We need to know what He's saying to us. We need to be walking right. And I would encourage you to come to the soaking meeting, because the prayer meeting. Because we spend time with God. If you spend time with somebody, you get to know them. You get to know what they're thinking. You get to know what they like, what they don't like. And if we spend time with God, it's just the same. We'll get to know His heart. We'll get to know what He wants, what He likes. And that will change the way we live. And it just happens. And so let's just spend time with God in the prayer, in the soaking. It's one way of doing it. You can do it at home. You can spend time with God at home, and I really encourage that. But come and be blessed, and let's do it together as a church as well. I know the times have been really precious, and that's one way we can learn how we need to be living. Thank you, Joy, appreciate that. Let's just sing my In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found, and then there's just one notice I think at the end. So if you'd like to stand, we'll end with this song.
My hope is found. He is my light, my strength.
Thank you, Lord. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Amen. If you'd like to take your seats. As Susan's mentioned, what's on Thursday?
Seven.
Yes. Anyone know what time it's on?
8 o'clock.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. And where is it?
Room 1.
Yay. You're awake. Perhaps we should do the notices like that. Just one more notice. you never know what I'm going to do, do you? There's one more notice. Nominations are required for Keith Saunders, myself and Frank, who's not here today. If you want us to become elders, we need some nominations. When the church council meets, they'll be considering this response we've had. We've had some response, but not much. But if you do want to nominate, just write. All you need to do is write on a bit of paper or on an email, I nominate, blah, 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 to be elders. But we do need some response. Otherwise, if there is no response, then it won't happen, is what I've been told. So you need to do something about it. So be blessed and have coffee. Thank you.
Nominations too?
To give them to? Give them to the deacons.
Jenny.
Keith. Keith Tredgett.
Howard.
Not Keith.
Not this Keith. Keith Tredgett.
Howard or Jenny.
Brilliant.
Someone's awake.
Thanks,
Rachel. Yes. 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 Yes.